In a world where achievements and accolades motivate us to do more and be more, we're often left wondering, is this really it?
Deep inside, you know there is more to life. You're ready to leave behind the old, push your way through, and claim the deeper life that's calling you.
That's where we excel.
We're your hosts, Stephanie Allen
and Marin Oslak.
And this is the Soulful Leader Podcast.
Sit back and relax as we share the shortcuts we've uncovered to help you make shift happen.
Hi, welcome to the Soulful Leader Podcast. This is Stephanie Allen, and I'm here with Marin Oslak. We've been really contemplating what the term success means. It's an interesting word, isn't it? And everybody has their own definition. And so I'm curious to all of you who are listening out there, just take a moment before we even get rolling on what we believe success might be, but just take a moment and think about what you believe success might mean or what you've been told success is, because I'm pretty sure we all have a little different view of it.
And What's interesting is just yesterday, somebody mentioned the fact that a belief is just an opinion. And I never thought of it like that. And so when you asked me that question, the thing that popped up for me was, if I believe success is a certain thing, it's just my opinion. And that means that there are other opinions, which means that there isn't just a definition of success.
Yeah, there's as many different definitions as there are people on the planet. And ultimately, I would have to say it's also an outcome, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but I know that part of what Marin and I are about is, you know, we work with people who have reached a certain level of success, whether that's in relationship, whether that's health, whether that's business, but they've reached a certain level and they've kind of checked all the boxes and they still feel like there's something missing. Like, and what we refer to that is the outer world. Like, I got all my boxes checked about this is what I was told success was meant to be, and then I achieved it. Why do I still feel, maybe not so much unhappy, but why do I still feel like there's more? Why do I feel like there's something missing?
Yeah, I feel empty.
Yeah, lonely, disconnected. It could be any of those.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, what I was saying about it, success is an opinion. The reason I brought that up is because I think our opinions are oftentimes formed for us. And so society has an opinion of what success looks like. Our parents had an opinion of what our success looks like. Our friends have an opinion. Our husbands, our wives, our spouses, our children. So everyone has this opinion. And then who are we living for? What are we actually doing with our time and our energy and our money in order to feel that inward success? Because it is an outward thing that we strive and we push and we do and it's all based on what? What's the foundation of that opinion or that a belief? Is it mine? Or am I living something for a spouse? Am I living out my parents' dreams for me? Am I living out society's version of success? And I think that is oftentimes the root of that emptiness that we feel when we've achieved something and we should feel really proud and we should feel ecstatic and we should feel fulfilled. And maybe we feel proud and ecstatic and not fulfilled. And there's that little niggling like, but wait, it was supposed to make me happier. It was supposed to fix something. It was supposed to, and there's still this void.
Well, it becomes an addiction, doesn't it? Because in some ways, it's like we're searching outside ourselves and inside ourselves, going, you know, we might get that temporary high and go, yeah, I made it. I did it. I achieved it, whatever it is. And then you go, okay, now what's next? What's next?
Yep.
And where does that come from? You know, we look at our work ethic in our current paradigm in North America, and it's, you know, work hard and then you die. Like, what? Mm. You know, that's like this Protestant ethic, work ethic. You go to work, you have one day off a week, you have 2 weeks off a year for a holiday. That's it. And the, even the word work, it's like, it's work to work. I don't want to work. You know, and yet we still need to have money. And I guess where I'm going to this is that there's a belief that success is materially rewarded.
There are a couple of things that I thought of as you were speaking. One of them was the fact that so many of us that are successful, whether it's in business or in entrepreneurship or, you know, in our companies, we have an addiction. And we don't call it an addiction because it's not to a substance. And sometimes it actually is to a substance, and we hide that, whether it's to food or to drugs or to alcohol. And we definitely have an addiction to the adrenaline rush of next. The next thing, the next thing to, you know, like the next higher thing to achieve or to do or to, and it can be a problem. I know for myself, it was, and I was in sports. I think this is true for athletes as well. And no matter how many times I won, it was always the next one. It was always the next one and the next one and the next one. And I remember early on in my sports career, one of my coaches said, always make sure that you have a goal beyond your goal. Because if you don't, you'll crash and go into depression. And I didn't understand that at the time. And now I do when I think about this, of like, when we think of it as an addiction to the next level. If I'm, you know, a food addict or a drug addict and I don't get my next hit, then I go into withdrawal. And that's what he was talking about. But he was talking about it from sports, right?
Yeah,
and it happens to us as in business, in, you know, in any high achiever, you know, endeavor that we do.
We tend to put it outside ourselves. I hear, listening to what you're saying about the sports, and what comes to mind is competition. It's like we don't know who we are unless we are comparing ourselves to someone else, either that we aspire to become or to overcome them. You know, it's like it's outside of us. And as an athlete myself, I can remember, you know, being so, you know, you get to a competition and you get second. And you're like, dang. And I was in gymnastics. So it's like it could have been just like someone's version over. It wasn't like track and field, which I also did. It wasn't like, OK, you know, we clocked you and you were, you know, 1/100th of a second off. It was somebody else's version of what they thought was good. Not necessarily your own. And so that you have this perceived thing of like, am I good enough? And so we're constantly putting it outside ourselves, looking at that achievement. And it's interesting because I've learned, maybe that was my training as an athlete, is to say, I can't change somebody else. I cannot worry about what they're doing or how they're training. I can learn from it and I can grow from it, of course. But the only thing I can control is my internal world, of how I am with myself. And I've taken that into business in my life too. And people will say, oh, you know, don't set up on that street corner or in that town or in that city or whatever, because there's so much competition. And I'm like, what if we could transcend that ideal of competition? What if competition wasn't outside of us? What if it was an internal guide to say, am I improving? Am I growing? And am I going at a pace that actually is working for me? Because there's times I know where I need to go faster. And there's other times I need to actually slow down. I'm going too fast. And it's not somebody else's version of what I should or shouldn't be. It's my own internal clock. And so if I take that internally, instead of making it competition outside, I make that competition inside and say, am I the best version of myself that I want to be? Not what somebody else thinks I should be. It changes the playing field, doesn't it?
It does. It's no longer a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
Because when it's outside and I don't get first, that means I get, say, you either win or you lose. And what if it's not a win or a lose? My husband is an international archery coach, and he's gotten Coach of the Year award, all kinds of things. And one of the reasons is because he works with children and adults on process goals instead of outcome goals. And process goals are the only thing that you can actually control. They're inside us. You can't control the outcome. You can't control if you get first or second or third, or, you know, how much effort somebody else has put in, and maybe they're working harder or they're not, or it just, you know, the gods frowned upon you on that day, whatever the outcome is. The process goals are exactly what you're talking about. Of, am I doing what I need to do? So for archery, it's setting up your shot so that the repetition of it is consistent and your body gets into the flow of, I know what a good shot feels like. So you're constantly focusing on what a good shot feels like instead of, am I hitting the 10 ring? So the 10 ring is out there. I can't control if I hit it or not. I can control my process of all the steps that I go through in order to achieve a good shot, a good consistent shot.
I think that's what you're hitting something right there, because we have been taught about the outside goals, right? The outcome, and the process is completely neglected.
Yeah.
And so when we even talk about like mental wellness or mental wellness, mental illness, and the difference between that, it's our internal process that creates resiliency or not.
Absolutely. And when we think of a process, it's kinder and it's integrated. One of the things that I'm doing right now is I'm reading a book called Finding the Mother Tree. And the crux of it is that trees actually communicate, not just communicate with each other, but they help each other. In nature, there is a wood wide web, which I love that. So there's this whole network of interactions that happens in a forest that's down below the surface of the ground. And everything is collaborative and they're helping each other. And our concept of plants, and you know, I'm a big gardener, our concept of plants has always been that they compete with each other for nutrients and for sunshine and for water and for et cetera, et cetera.
The survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest. And it turns out it's not true, that this woman has proven that they actually cooperate with each other to help each other live better and be more productive. So if a birch tree gets more sunlight, it may help the birch tree next to it with whatever it, you know, it's like they're cooperative. And I've been thinking about that for my garden. And I've also, when you were talking, that's what came up for me was when we think of process, we become more collaborative. It stops being a zero-sum game. And we do that to ourselves inside as well as outside. And what we think of, instead of thinking of the outcome of it's this or it's that, we think of the process of what's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? And, you know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think, you know, because we've neglected this process, we beat ourselves up when we haven't got the outcome that we hoped or wished for. And yet we haven't really deeply mined the process. If someone says, well, what's your process? And I go, I don't know. Well, I'm just kind of winging it. And I'm just kind of throwing stuff out. That's like, you know, throwing the spaghetti to see what sticks on the wall, instead of going, well, what is my process? What is the real internal reason why I want this? Where am I going? And how will I measure that? Not in the outer world, because that's what we're measuring it, right? It's like, well, you measure it by money. You measure it by how many kids you have. You measure like how many, you know, how many cars or what you're driving or what you're living in. Instead of measuring it internally, what would that internal measurement be if you were to measure something inside? That would be part of the process, right?
I agree. Absolutely. And asking ourselves those questions inside. And one of the things that's my process. And I know Canadians say process. I'm sorry, I'm American. Y'all get to hear the difference between the American pronunciation and the Canadian here. So one of the things about my process is stopping, and I think this is why I brought up finding the mother tree, is because I've always been trained, part of my quote-unquote success belief system is that I have to do it on my own. And I'm being judged by something out there. I'm also being judged by what's going on in here. And I'm starting to flip that script and really starting to embrace the fact that I was never meant to do it alone. And that's on the internal and on the external. So as I look at nature as an example, and there is the survival of the fittest example, which I've probably lived my life by, and it's being replaced by an ecosystem of collaboration example, which I'm starting to live my life by. And I look at that in terms of process. Now my process becomes much friendlier. So even taking it from outcome to process to the next level, which is now there's a community supporting my process, it becomes this warm, fuzzy, I love what I'm doing instead of, oh, I have to get to work.
Yeah, I get to do this rather than I have to do this.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So when you're thinking about your process and what's going on inside of you and the questions that you ask yourself, what are some of the things that come up for you, Stephanie?
That's a great question. The very first one I ask for is why? Why do I want this? And is it me that wants this? And so what do I mean? Is it me that wants it? So I'll give you an example. You know, I was hearing about a friend of mine who got a new job, and she was sharing with me, you know, all the amazing things that were going on at this new place. And it's this model of a business that part of me was a little jealous. I was like, wow, look at them go. And wow, look at you go. This is really amazing. And I was kind of getting a little cranky at myself. And I was saying to my partner about what was happening. He's like, well, you know, you could do that. And all of a sudden I could feel inside. I'm like, yeah, but I don't really want to. Like, oh, that's, I don't want to put my time and my energy there. And it made me laugh because I'm like, yeah, what? Right. Why am I not asking, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because if there's no ignition, if there's no love, if there's no joy or meaning, I don't want to put my energy and my gifts and my strengths there because there's no passion.
So one of the questions that I have for you then is, when jealousy comes up, it's a signal for us, right? That there's something that I'm looking for. There's something there that I want as well. And so it wasn't the business that you want in the way that, okay, I don't want to actually put my energy into creating that business. I could. So have you taken the time, and maybe you haven't done that yet, because I know that this is newer for you, of what was it that there is, what was that craving that wants to be fulfilled?
That's such a great question. You know, when I look at it, it was an internal, it made me go inside to really reflect on, well, what does Stephanie want? And to own it, to own that part, and also to recognize where I've been successful. It's like, it may not look that way. And again, you know, I can get very easily caught up, like most of us get caught up in the outer success and going, oh, why am I not like, or why don't I have, or, you know, instead of stopping long enough and going, like that jealousy was there to alert me to say, own what you do have. Can you be grateful for what you do have and own what is mine to do? Like I could put another 10 years into creating that very similar business model, but why would I? Like, why would I want to, when I want to put my time and my energy into something else? And so I feel like that jealousy was a good wake up call to help me choose a path, a direction, like a fork in the road. That jealousy can come up to say either, yes, it's jealous because you really, really, really want that, or you're jealous because you're using your time, your energy, and your life force that's distracting you from where you really want to be. So claim it back and own it and move towards where you want to say yes to.
I love that you took the time with that. I think so often we get jealous and we just go after whatever the other person had, whether it's a BMW or a house or a particular view, or, you know, it's like, oh, I want that. And then we keep going after that, not recognizing that I want that. What is that? Fill in the blank that I wanted. We assume that it's the BMW, but maybe it's the sense of accomplishment that came with it, or it's the moment of recognition from somebody outside of yourself of like, I want to be seen driving a BMW. And you would, to be honest, here's the deal. You would get that BMW and it won't do what you wanted it to do, because the recognition that you were craving, or the whatever fill in the blank that you were craving, that represented, it was the outer representation of it. It wasn't the real thing. So taking the time, like Stephanie just did, to really look at what was it that the internal needed. It needed her to recognize herself for a moment and say, hey, you know what? You've done so much and your success doesn't look like their success, and yet it's still success.
I have a great story that kind of sums that up. 30 years ago, I moved across the country, and I had this little flyer that came to the door that said, become a massage therapist. Now, if you knew me 30 years ago, the last thing I'm going to do is touch you. I'm not even going to sit close to you on a couch. And like, if you're going to hug me, forget it. I'm going to be this rigid board. Like, forget it. Like, don't even come close to me. And so, you know, this flyer shows up and I'm like, yeah, are you crazy? I'm not going to be a massage therapist. But I heard inside. So what I was seeking for me, success at that time, 30 years ago, was to be married and have children. And I thought, oh my God, I suck at this. I can't even get a date. I'm having a hard time. Maybe if I become a massage therapist, I can let somebody, no, and I didn't even say I could let somebody, didn't want somebody touching me. I could touch them and feel safe and actually create love.
Hmm.
Yeah. 30 years ago, I didn't know how to love myself, let alone let somebody else love me. But that's what success was really meaning. To be married and have children meant that I was loved. That's what it equaled. The irony of the whole thing is that 30 years of doing massage therapy, because I'm still doing hands-on body work, it has been the deepest, longest career I've ever had. And it daily teaches me how to remember, not just to self-care, because a lot of times people will think like, oh, having a massage and a bubble bath, this is all self-love. No, that's called self-care. Why I've done it for 30 years is that it's changed the way I see myself and how I work in the world. It actually opened up my heart, because mm-hmm. I realized that my heart was shut down. I couldn't let somebody else in. And so the success, it has been radically successful because it's changed me. I wanted it. What did I read a quote the other day about Rumi? It said, you know, I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. And now I am wise and I changed myself.
Mm.
And that, it really kind of sums that up. It's like the inner success is so much more meaning and fulfilling. And yet, as a culture, we do not always have the process, tomatoes and the tomatoes, to go inward. And sometimes it is, you know, because hear us out there, listeners, that we're not saying don't go and try all kinds of different things on. In fact, we're actually saying, yes, go try all kinds of things on and ask yourself why, and keep asking yourself why. Yeah. And what it would mean to you to be successful in yourself, in the inside. What would that mean? How would you know you're successful internally? Because the only way you're going to discover it is to try things on.
Right.
I would have never been a massage therapist. Are you crazy? It wasn't until my heart was broken that I thought maybe this might be the doorway to actually, you know, massage a date and actually get to marriage. But my marriage was with myself. And with the divine within me. That was my doorway.
Life is wise and it is good. So we are led to what's next for us. And when we see something externally that triggers us, meaning that it triggers us into desire or it triggers us into jealousy or it triggers us into whatever, there's a reason for it. It's not, please ignore me. It's the universe or life trying to get your attention because there's a key, there's a clue there for you. And that's what we're talking about is don't just take it at surface level of, oh, go after that or avoid that or et cetera, et cetera. Go deeper, ask the question, get curious. It's so interesting because just yesterday, actually, I think it was Monday. Anyway, I learned that curiosity and getting deeply into our passions, it creates some of those dopamine and serotonin and the happiness chemicals in our bodies. So we don't need the outer stuff anymore. We don't need to, you know, go to a pharmacy or whatever to get it. We just need to get curious and start to fall in love with what we're doing. And the way we keep falling, we fall deeper and deeper in love is by asking the questions and saying, is this mine to do? Is this where my passion is? Is this, could I do more of this? Yes, no, maybe. No, I don't want to. Well, where would I be happier? And then look for the clues in life because life will give them to you.
And I love what you said too. This is a great action for all you and listening too. It's like, pay attention to where you're jealous. In fact, invite it in and sit down or take a moment for yourself and go, huh, okay, if jealousy was a road sign to look within, because there's something there for me, either I'm not claiming something for myself that I also could have, or it's allowing me to own something inside myself to say yes or no to. And you can have more peace. And you hack those happy chemicals instead of always being in reaction. I love that.
I do too. All right. So everyone out there, that's your assignment for this week is when something comes up, whether it's jealousy or anger or even happiness, invite it in, have a conversation with it and find out what it's offering you. What's next there for you on the internal level instead of just always looking at the external. Thanks for joining us today, and we will chat with you next week on the Soulful Leader Podcast.
And that wraps up another episode of the Soulful Leader Podcast with your hosts, Stephanie Allen
and Marin Oslak. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to dive deeper, head over to our website at thesoulfulleaderpodcast.com.
Until next time.